Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 103. I'm your host, SBJ.
I'm Micah.
We're recording this in normal people time.
Actual daylight hours.
And there wasn't a million different video games coming out this week like there were last week.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you. Canceled all video games.
They did. Everything that they announced at E3, they then, this week, one by one announced that they were canceling it.
I mean, understandable.
It's a lot of work, you know?
So much time in your life for video games.
It's a lot of work to make a video game. Sometimes you just gotta throw in the towel.
Or a mistake. We have some news to talk about.
Is it Monster Hunter related news?
We do.
Oh.
We do. Interesting. And we also have some commentary on the developers commenting on other games that are not Monster Hunter.
Ooh.
That we'll save for.
Spicy.
Well, you have something, I have something, and then we'll save the commentary on other Monster Hunter-esque games for last here.
Yeah.
This is, we'll just dive right into things. I guess we'll get the, like, easy, simple, maybe shouldn't put a podcast out on Thursday anymore news out of the way. Later tonight.
We're doing a really good job of this.
Later tonight, there will be a beta for Monster Hunter World Iceborne if you have PlayStation Plus. You'll be able to do that tonight and all weekend.
It's a big if.
If you don't have PlayStation Plus, you have to wait till next weekend, the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, for an open beta for everyone. They did the same thing when World came out. They did an open beta for PlayStation Plus. Then the next week, they did it for everyone. It's usually three hunts, easy, normal, hard, have all the weapons, do the three monsters. We did this. We did like a stream for this last time.
We did like a 14-hour stream.
That's where you can
because
see me.
Someone thought it would be a good idea to do an hour per weapon.
It was good.
It was good, but it was a lot. I was very tired.
I was very sick.
It was a long day.
We won't be doing it this time. I will definitely be dabbling in the beta this weekend. I usually don't like to do it a lot because you don't get to keep the stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get burnt out on a specific monster.
Although it's Monster Hunter. When you've hunted it once, you've hunted it. You're going to hunt it again 60 more times, 100 more times. I'm sure it'll be very much the same experience of just hunting the same thing over and over for gear.
Sure.
But you don't keep the gear. You're right. So, you know, it is what it is.
Did you get something last time? Like, you got, like, a cosmetic for participating
in
the beta?
I think you got something for participating in the beta. I can't 100% remember what it was, but it was something. Wow. Usually you do, though. Most games, you get, like, a title or, like, a, I don't know,
guild card or something.
Yeah.
Well, this is off IGN titled, "The Best New Monster Hunter World Iceborne Feature That You Didn't Think." I'm going to skip all the filler here and go to, "Your mantles can now be upgraded with decoration slots. The decorations on mantles are only active when the mantles are equipped, but still, decoration slots! Exclamation point. Keep that in mind. Best is being used, obviously very subjective here, but I literally wanted to shout out and Glee. Literally wanted to shout out and Glee is the author writing this, not me. When I saw that, it was the first thing I shared in my Monster Hunter squad after my hands-on demo and the interview. And they, to my surprise, shared in my excited rambling." So I don't need to read the entire article, but they kind of go on about stuff we talked about last week. Like I said, this was off IGN. The author is also excited for Nargacuga, T-Grex. And
this is important.
Glavinus.
This is a specific call out to Sox, who was outed as saying that he will never call it anything but Tigrex.
Well, I guess we'll start calling Socks Soaks.
Soaks. No, that's not.
And then
this feels rude.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess. Are you excited as Casey DeFiritias from IGN about mantles having decoration slots?
Yeah, I mean, it's neat. I thought that they... Okay, so I vaguely remember there was a lot that was happening last week because it was E3. But I vaguely remember someone noticing this during their live stream, calling it out, and then posting something about it, and then Capcom shutting it down and saying that that was a mistake. But I guess that it's not. I guess it's real.
What was the other thing? Oh, there was an Eric's tweet about, I can't remember what it was about, but they had to clarify that, no, it was just a, they said, I can't remember exactly what the thing was, but Monster Hunter tweeted back at Eric's Gaming, and said, oh, pardon our dust, that's...
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Maybe I didn't think that was about decorations.
In the demo that Eric's played or was watching, I'm not 100% sure which, because I know that he was at E3. There was a screen that said that you could upgrade... It's the like tutorial screen, and it says, upgrade specialized tools. And one of the things says, upgrading layered armor, this adds slots for decorations. So that's what it was. It was adding slots for layered armor was what the mistake was. So he said, hey, Monster Hunter, saw this in the demo. Is this a typo, or can we actually upgrade layered armor? And they said, oops, pardon our dust. This is actually a work in progress build and not fully representative of the final product. The upgrading layered armor is a mistake and should say upgrading specialized tools. Sorry for any confusion. So that's what I was thinking of. And yes, it actually meant specialized tools like mantles and not layered armor. I like the term partner dust, though. It's good.
Yeah, I do like
that. So, yeah, that's cool. I mean, sure. Put slots, decoration slots on everything, I guess. I'm fine with it. Anything to make it more efficient to hunt a monster, I'm on board.
Speaking of being on board, what is your news that you have for the week?
Oh, well, quick before I start that, I did look up what the beta rewards were for Monster Hunter World back in 2018, the distant past. Let me tell you, it's a little hard to Google Monster Hunter beta, because there's a whole subset of armor that's called beta armor. Kind of muddies the waters a little bit. I do vaguely remember this now. I don't remember specifically what it was, but there were some beta rewards that were like potions and whatever that you got in your house. I'm sure everyone remembers their very first house location, the bunk beds. And you could talk to... the housekeeper Palico and get like your add-ons and rewards. So there were beta items that you got for participating in the world beta. Whether or not you'll get items for participating in the Iceborne beta has yet to be revealed, but this is an article from The Verge by Andrew Webster. It is titled, Monster Hunter World is Capcom's best-selling game, and it's about to get even bigger. Executive Director Kaname Fujioka on the game's upcoming Iceborne expansion. This is just, they talked to him a little bit about various things. One of it specifically being that Monster Hunter World was the best-selling Capcom game of all time. He said, to be honest, it still doesn't feel like it's real. The fact that all these years later I've made this game that goes beyond all of those, at some level it feels unreal to me. This interview happened at E3, by the way. So they talk then more about Iceborne, talk about the region, and some changes that world made it more approachable. And how they want to build ice. They want to build on that template for Iceborne. They talked about G rank and so on. But one of the kind of semi important things that I noticed from this article is they were talking specifically about player feedback. So they said There are also a number of changes based on feedback from players. Iceborne will feature two new two-player hunting options, which we've heard is just the fact that it scales. Iceborne will feature two new player hunting options as well as a difficulty that will scale to correspond to the number of people in your party. So if someone has to leave early, the monsters won't be too hard to take down. One of the most impressive things about the original world was its massive city-like home base, which felt like a real lived-in place. But it was also perhaps too huge. Players complained it took forever to run errands in between hunts, you being one of those people, if I recall correctly. Iceborne will alleviate this with a smaller, more condensed map, but one that still feels appropriate to the game. And this is a quote, "It still fits with the storyline because you've only just arrived at this new frontier and it's cold," says Fujioka, "so it's natural to start off with a small base." So it sounds like Celiana is going to be particularly smaller than Astera. And I hope that this kind of maybe means that they also considered what it means to or the player feedback regarding the hub. And maybe making it easier to just jump into something. There were also other quotes about how they designed the world. Talked about how they don't design a world for the monsters. They design the world and then they put the monsters in the world.
Oh.
And we design them to be convincing in terms of the ecology of the world. So they work in reverse maybe from what most people would expect. Which is kind of a neat thing. I think that's always a good way to, from a creative perspective, I think that's a really cool way to build out a world, is to have the world first and then fill it with things that seem appropriate for that world.
Yeah.
It was a cool article, though. I recommend reading it. There's not like a ton of new information. I think the only thing that caught my eye was mentioning the hub. Or not the hub, but the player base, and taking into consideration people's feedback. Which also goes back to our interview with Sox, where he said, you know, they've been listening to everybody's feedback and they're taking things into consideration. So it's good to hear. Good to hear it won't take 5 minutes to get to the Smith when you get back from a hunt. I know that was one of your gripes in specific.
Yeah, I like the area where they're all together.
Yeah.
Article I have here is Monster Hunter World creators are totally cool with Monster Hunter-like games, including Dauntless. This is off Polygon, sister site of The Verge, I believe.
The old sister site.
Monster Hunter World has sold millions and millions of copies, which we've talked about multiple times on this show. Dauntless, which is a free-to-play game, which we've also talked about in the show, just passed 10 million downloads, and it launched in May.
Okay. To be fair,
one is free.
One is free. The other you had to pay anywhere from $20 to $60 for.
So this is a quote from Fujioka. "I'm perfectly happy and proud to feel that our game has gotten big enough that people are taking inspiration from it and making their own titles. I mean, we are creators and we are influenced by all games we've played. It's definitely not something I feel bad or angry about to see this kind of thing happening. It's more proof that Monster Hunter World has gone global, since a game like Dauntless is a global game." Then the article goes on and says, "Dauntless isn't the first game to capture the magic of beating up giant monsters. There are lots of Monster Hunter alikes, including God Eater, Soul Sacrifice, and Tokuden? Yeah, there you go.
Tokuden.
Here's another quote. "In the past, when Monster Hunter got big on PSP in Japan..." Oh, PSP. In Japan, for example, Monster Hunter-like games started cropping up on PSP in Japan, but maybe they weren't as well-known in the West. We've always had people take inspiration from us and use it as their basis for their own creations, and I think that is continuing with the Monster Hunter World era of series." And then Monster Hunter World Iceborne will be released on September 6th for Xbox One and PS4. Remember, PC players, you have to wait for a later date. And a free weekend coming on June 21st So tomorrow for players with PlayStation Plus.
Tukadin. I haven't thought about Tukadin in a long time.
Have you played it?
Yeah. My brother and I were in the hunt for more Monster Hunter-like games.
Was it good?
What kind of monsters they got? We pursued Tukadin. It was a Vita game. I don't know. It's some...
Yeah, like T-Rexes?
Just big monsters. No, it was more like... it was more... maybe like traditional Japanese influenced. So like... I don't know, more samurai and mythological like demons and stuff like that, like inspired a lot by Japanese mythology, I think.
Sure.
It was a cool game, but it was why put a ton of time into it when Monster Hunter was available. I guess was my a very similar game though, like very similar play style, four player hunts, and you know, whatever. Very much a Monster Hunter, I don't want to say clone, but like, you know, a monster hunting game. Apparently, I'm seeing now, I wanted to refresh myself on it because it's been a while since I thought about Tukadin, but there is a Tukadin Kiwami that's on PS4. So if you are really curious about Tukadin, it sounds something like maybe you want to try. If you're really just looking for more Monster Hunter-like games, Monster Hunter and Dauntless aren't enough for you. Tukadin Kiwami is on the PlayStation Store for $60, which is a lot for a game that was released in 2015.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot.
Monster Hunter is on sale still this week for $20. I think it was part of the E3 sale.
Yeah.
So that's still happening. I feel like everyone listening to the show owns it, but...
Now, I'm curious, do you need Monster Hunter World to play the beta for Iceborne?
No, it's a separate download.
Okay, got it.
That's actually a really good question. Yeah, you don't need Monster Hunter World... you don't need to pre-order Iceborne. It's a completely separate download. And I believe as of this recording, as of actually yesterday, you could preload it. So as soon as it opens up, you don't have to wait the however many gigs it is to, you know, play it.
Yeah, got it.
But not to leave Dauntless in the dust, you have not gone back to it, right?
I have not, no. I mean, I probably would have if I had any real...
E3 didn't kill your entire productivity last week?
I mean, so here's my... I'm sure nobody cares. I'm sure you don't even care, but... to give you the breakdown of my game playing, there hasn't been a ton of it because I've had a lot of stuff to do, but I did jump on Cadence of Hyrule when it launched because I'm a
big
Zelda fan.
You're the biggest Zelda fan I know.
And I was tentatively interested in it because I didn't play a ton of Crypt of the Necrodancer. I played some. Other people might not know this, but you know this. I love rhythm games. I'm a big fan of rhythm games. So it was a Zelda rhythm game, and I felt like it should have made perfect sense. And surprise, it did. I loved it. I spent like a whole day playing that game after we went to Pokemon Go Fest and I had to physically recover. I just spent the day playing that game. It was very good. And because of that, that was pretty much all the gameplay time that I had available, and I haven't gotten back to anything since. Dauntless, in specific, I have not returned to. So... eventually, I'm sure I will probably pick it back up again and play a little bit. I'm noticing more and more that there are people completely unrelated to Monster Hunter and unrelated to who I would normally see talking about Dauntless or games like Dauntless. I'm seeing more people getting into Dauntless, which is kind of interesting. It's starting to have kind of like a widespread thing.
Yeah, well, it helps that it's free, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure eventually I'll jump back in. I'll be way behind everybody else. That's typically how it goes for me with games.
Yeah. Well, I played more of it. I'm level, I think, like 36 in my hunt pass.
Okay.
And then level 50 is where it caps off. And of course, you know, you pay the, what is it, $10, and then you get emotes and items and whatnot. Yeah. And I know you, this is a, you said this and a couple other people said this, like the first couple fights in Dauntless seem incredibly easy and kind of almost boring for somebody who's played a lot of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And they get really cool and really unique and really different later on. I think maybe they make you wait a little too long for that. But at one point, there is a teleporting rhino that then puts up like a prism force field around it that you have to break through this like huge dome shield to get to it. But rainbow lights suck it into the ether, and then it teleports somewhere else on the map. It's pretty sweet. And then there's like a flying snake that shoots like rainbow beams out of its face, which is pretty cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, those are really cool fights, and they take a little bit to get to, but I don't know what happens when the season ends. There are the six weapons, I think, in Dauntless, and they're all, I think we've talked about the weapons and how they're pretty different and stuff. Monster Hunter doesn't have this. Oh, they do kind of have this, but I didn't really mess with it. So in Monster Hunter, there's like the Forger, or the dude with like the pot where you can take like old items and merge them into different things.
Yeah.
But for me, like that never felt worth it.
Oh, I absolutely. I mean, I think it's an old woman. I don't know.
Is it the pot dude or am I thinking of a different guy?
You're talking about melding?
Where they like, where you take
old monster, you take monster parts and you can turn it into like mega potions and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love melding. I use it all the time.
Maybe I just felt like the things I was melding, like, I don't want to meld these three claws into a potion. I can just buy the potion.
I mean, well, so it's like mega potions, or you can meld for max potions and stuff like that too, right? So like, I don't want to get, if I'm in the middle of a hunting session with a group, I don't want to have to wait for my honey to finish growing, or have to like search for honey in the field while we're hunting something, or, you know, whatever, or get the stuff to make max potions when I can just like take parts that I'm never going to use. I have 8,000 of one specific type of ore that I'm not going to use ever. I'll just turn those into mega potions or max potions, and it severely cuts time, and it's super worth it, I think.
Maybe because I'm like a monster part hoarder that I hate doing that.
Yeah, I don't care about it anyway. You get to a point where you're like, I got way too many of these things. They're never getting used. I've got one of every armor set. I don't need it anymore.
So the thing in Dauntless is they have the pieces that you equipped of like +2 to sharpness, or +1 to part breaking.
Sure.
And then there's this dude, and you can give him two of your equipable gems slots. I don't know what they're actually called. So if you have
decorations.
So if you have two,
is it actually? I was joking.
I don't.
What
I don't know. But
decorations.
Decorations make sense. So if you have 2 +1 decorations for sharpness, if you give them both of those, you wait like 22 hours and there's an actual real-time clock, and you come back and he gives you a +2.
Okay, got
it. So that makes sense, right? It's like, okay, those, instead of equipping 2 +1s, I can equip 1 +2, and then that frees up another decoration slot.
Yeah, and it's a free game, so of course it's got the timer.
Right, and so you can do that again.
You can spend gems to speed it up.
Right, yep, 100%. I believe
they're called, actually true?
Yeah, they're like, no. I think they're called spades.
I'm joking. I actually don't know.
You can speed it up.
It's like a mobile game.
You can speed it. Oh, well, this is why I wanted to bring it up. There's a trick here.
Okay.
So if you have a +2 +2 sharpness, I think you know where this is going. You can give that to the dude, and then he'll give you a plus three, but that takes longer, right? Because that's that's like a day, that's like 1 day, 20 hours, because that's harder to merge together.
Yeah.
Two twos is way harder than two ones.
But, you know, if you give him this special in-game gem, he magically has the ability to make it faster.
Right. Right. Well, you're paying for it. Works. You know, it's like when you're waiting
fast
in line
turnaround
at the dry cleaners. You slip them a 20, all of a sudden your shirts are done.
Bumps you to the front of the line.
So this is the catch here. You get one of those slots, and if you put your plus one in it, and you gotta wait your 22 hours or however long it takes, and then, but what if you had a lot of those and you were like, but I have all these pieces and I hate getting one a day. Well, Micah, you can spend $5, 500 platinum.
Okay.
And he'll do two of them at once.
Got it.
So it's you could do plus one in this one, and then you could do plus one in this one. And so in 22 hours, you have two things completed.
So is that like a
permanently
unlocks?
Yeah,
permanently
unlocks.
Okay.
But what
can
if you wanted...
Can you continue to do this?
You can.
Okay.
But the third one is $10.
I hate this.
I've only done the first one, so I can do two at once.
I see.
But it is nice. It is something. I know like the timer is kind of annoying, but...
It's very cliche mobile game.
Yeah, but it does give you... And I'm sure they want this. It does give you a reason to be like, I don't have time to play, but I know my thing is going to be done, so I'm going to log in, I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to drop off two more items, and I'll see you in 22 hours.
Yeah. So
it does give you that incentive to log in, I suppose.
You know how I feel about those things, because I went to you and our friend Alex to complain about when Elder Scrolls Blades came out, and I was excited, and I was experiencing for one of the like actual first times, you know, I've seen it before, obviously, in mobile games. It's nothing super new, but that was my first time playing a mobile game where I like really experienced the whole like, here's a thing, it takes 4 hours to unlock, and you can speed it up by paying real money.
Yeah.
It's just such a, like, greedy, money-grabby thing that I just don't like.
They give you some of the chips to speed it up for free, part of your hunt pass.
I see. But do they give you a slot to unlock?
No.
Still got to pay the $5 for that. And then $10 for the next one. Probably 15 for the third or the fourth.
No, you can only have three. Yeah,
oh, I see. So 15 total to get you
three slots instead of one.
That's where they're getting you. So, okay, let's do the math on this then. To like max out your playability for the game, you pay $15 to get your slots, right? You pay.
Yeah.
How much is it for the battle pass?
$10.
$10, but the boosted battle pass is what, 40?
$24.
$24, okay. And that's per season, right?
Yes. Well, that one was on quote-unquote sale, so I don't know if...
I vaguely remember you saying... I vaguely remember the number $40.
I think it... Well, 40 was for the special, like, Founders Pack.
Got it.
Which just got you, like, armor and an emote and a...
So if you want the Founders Pack, it's $40.
And that
gets you the things.
5,000 platinum.
5,000 platinum. It also gets you like all of this other free content, right? And it gets you, it starts your battle pass, right?
No, the
$40 thing. Or does it have nothing to do with the battle pass?
Has nothing to do. It's just like it's a way to get 5,000 platinum by saving $10.
So at this point, how much money in are you on this free game? Let me expose you.
I am $45 into this free game.
Okay.
So I did the $40 gets you 5,000 platinum.
Yeah.
And then I did the $5 PlayStation Plus like discount thing.
Okay.
Where you get 1,000 platinums for $5, so you're getting 500 bonus, I guess. And so with that, 5,500 platinum, or sorry, 6,000 platinum I had.
Mm-hmm.
Is the $40 gave me 5, and then the $5 gave me 10. That's 6,000.
Yeah.
I bought the battle pass. I bought one upgrade slot, and I bought like one cosmetic flare that shoots out a cat in the air instead of like a shape.
The fireworks. The sky flare.
Yes, the sky flare.
So $45. I mean, to max it, you'd be close to $60.
Well, I still have a bunch of platinum left. So I could buy that like other slot.
Okay.
Because the other slot's 1,000.
Yeah, I'm seeing now on the website till July 9th is season 5. And for the elite track bundle, it's $24.
Yeah.
Out of that the 60, is 40% off. It is normally $40.
Yeah, so I had 6,000, 20, so I spent, let's just say, 25 for the battle pass, so that brings me down to 3,500, spent $5 on the upgrade, so that means I have 3,000 platinum left,
mm-hmm.
and then I bought, like, a flare and maybe a dye, like, dye, they're permanent dyes that change your armor.
Right.
That was, like, one was, like, 2 and one was 3, so I should have about 2,500 platinum left. Which should get me the next battle pass.
There you go. When did this start?
When did what? Dawn start?
When the season started. I'm curious how long the seasons are.
I think the seasons are 2 months exactly.
2 months.
So okay. I think it started like May 7th, I want to say.
So it's really like...
$10, $5 a month. If you're just buying base battle pass, because the battle pass is $10.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the financial breakdown of this to see, like, really, over the course of a year, are you paying more than a $60 game to play this game, this free game? If you're putting money into it, like, which,
but if you're playing it every month or even every week to get the, you know, to take advantage of the battle pass, that's a lot of content.
It is a lot of content.
You could skip out. I mean, there's been like a full month where I haven't played Monster Hunter, and I not like I felt bad.
I mean, sure, but I paid $60 for Monster Hunter, and then, well, I mean, you know, we got copies from Capcom, but typically, in the past with any other game, I've paid $60 for it. At this point, I'm way beyond what I feel is worth the $60. I've like tenfold gotten my worth out of that game for the money that it costs. I just don't know, like, if this surpasses that amount of money, is it still worth it? I guess that's what I'm not sure.
For me, putting $45 in, I feel like I could never play Dauntless again, and I felt like my money was well spent. Because I had a good time with the up to this podcast, everything prior, I had a good time with Dauntless. Yeah. I'm still gonna play it. I'm so close to finishing the battle pass. I feel like I need to finish it at this point.
I'm still curious, and I'm sure that I probably will at some point buy a battle pass. I don't know that it's 100% worth it at this point because
I would not. Yeah, it's over,
it's
like
got
2 weeks,
19 days before it's over, so that's like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah,
it's like 3 weeks left on this battle pass, but hunt pass. This is the hunt pass, not the battle pass. I did see, though, while I was looking through this, that there is a you can pre-order a Dauntless. I specifically saw this because there's an exclusive skin, much like Fortnite. Called Aetheric Guardian, and it says it's showing it on the store, the Dauntless store, and it says you can get it by pre-ordering either the Dauntless Collector's Edition, which is $150. Doesn't appear to come with any platinum.
Uh-oh.
just comes with a very large statue and an art book and a steelbook case and a promotional armor set, a 2-disc soundtrack, and a sticker.
2-disc soundtrack, eh? I'm not really a soundtrack.
Is there enough music in Dauntless that you feel that it warrants a 2-disc soundtrack?
You know, I can't really remember the music too well.
Oh, you do also get the skin if you pre-order the Steelbook, Dauntless Steelbook Edition, which is $30. And it comes with a Steelbook case and the armor set and the 2-disc soundtrack and a sticker. It also has a game code in it, which, much like the retail versions of Fortnite, I'm sure is just like, here you go. Input this code and it'll download this free game for you to make it easy so you don't have to search for it in the store. It's just such a like weird territory. It's still, it's not super new, but it's still like new enough to me. This free game plus battle pass model is still just such like a weird thing to me. So it's interesting. It's interesting to hear about it from the perspective of somebody who is actively playing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's our show for you guys today. If you want to follow the podcast on Twitter @CarvePodcast. If you want to follow Micah on Twitter @MicahTheBrave. If you want to follow myself on Twitter @DraggingALake. Well, that's it. That's our show.
That's it. Play the beta.
Play the beta.
Get your beta rewards. I don't know if there's actually beta rewards. Hunt your great Jagras. Wouldn't be a Monster Hunter World beta without a great Jagras.
But we will be back next week, of course. Hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters. I couldn't think of anything particularly unique. Keep on hunt passing those
there
monsters.
You go.